for nothing. Oh no, I'll never let you see the way I'm digging round. And you won't need no angels, you won't need no luck, you won't need no sympathy I found.
Well, hello and welcome back to In and Out Kabaddi. Well, Sahel and I have been having a little bit of a shock. We've been a bit slow into our stride this year. Luckily, the Pro Kabaddi League hasn't been. We've been probably slower than, to be fair, Sahel, a foot race between you and me, really. But the season's off and flying, although the leagues, due to home legs, have been slightly skewed. First of all, before we talk about that, Sahel, how are you? How's Mumbai going, and how's the season started?
Yeah, good, Dan. I'm just gonna say I've been working hard on my legs, so I think I'd beat you in that two horse race. Given that you've been stuck in flooding Oman on the hockey, so I'm gonna back myself on that race when we do hit each other. And I'm using your Dan the Skipping Man ropes. So see, I'm getting quick feet going. So watch out, I'm coming for you. But to come to your actual question, well, it's been a solid start to the season, and I think in the way that the whole season's panned out, it's been closer than many people thought. We're seeing really good clashes between the zones as well. And I think it's a much more tight league overall compared to even last year. So that's a really big encouraging sign for the entire league. And it's been a fun Kabaddi caravan that's been traveling as usual.
So let's look generically first at Zone A. To the untrained eye, Poneri Pultan are doing quite well. They last time I looked anyway, they were over 10 points clear, 12 points clear. Jaipur ticking along nicely at the bottom. They're waiting for a late comeback, obviously, comeback of the century. Obviously, they don't want to try too hard too early. But the home legs do skew things a bit. So for Poneri Pultan, they look like they're doing really well. But actually, they've had a bit of a shocker of a start to the season.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's not terrible, but it's not great either. They've played 12 and they're on 37 points. But if you look at their sort of run of form, it's just been really patchy so far. You know, they've got one win from their last four, and then, you know, it's sort of been multiple losses in between every win that they get. So that's been hurting them a little bit. They've got a really good side, Pune. And I think even though they find themselves top of the pile, I think it's actually a two-horse race at the top at the moment between U Mumbai and Gujarat Fortune Giants, because Mumbai find themselves 8 points behind and they've played only seven games, which is five less. And Gujarat are on 24 and they played six games less. So, you know, those are the two teams I think are the ones to watch, the more consistent sides so far in Vivo PKL Season 6. So, you know, I think the strugglers, as you said, one of them being your team, Dan, Jaipur Pink Panthers, they played six and won just the one match. And also, I think they've been hit quite hard by not even picking up a point from many games. So when you finish with a margin of seven or less, you do take away 1 point from the match, and they haven't quite managed to do that either. And the Haryana Steelers are the other ones that are struggling at the moment.
I've been having to hide my JPP top. I normally wear it quite often. I wear it to work out and things like that. And in Oman, I had to hide the badge. You know, we were doing so badly.
Yeah.
You remember, they've got Poneri Pultan to come actually today. A good chance for the inform U Mumbai to play Poneri Pultan now. But of course, you said Poneri Pultan have a very good team, so they can't be taken lightly. But for U Mumbai, they've got a plus 65 points difference, which is hugely more than anyone else in the league as well.
Yeah, and that comes down to a combination of things. I think in the ability to close out matches, when they've won games, they've won really big. Except for when they, of course, take on Pune. Somehow, every time there's a Pune-Mumbai match, there's a Maharashtra derby, it becomes quite, intense. There's just this rise in intensity from both sides. And it's been two simply superb clashes. On the opening night of the season, we had a tie between the two sides, 32 apiece. And then Pune won the next one, 33-32. So it is really, really tight between these two sides whenever they play. So you can expect the same later tonight in the big Maharashtra derby. And much of that is also due to Siddharth Desai. Siddharth Desai has been an absolute phenom coming into this season. You know, he's breaking record after record in what's been a really short career so far. But he's an absolute monster, works very hard, great work ethic. And he's been the find of the season in terms of Pro Kabaddi so far. And I think definitely one to look out for in the future too.
You talk about phenomenons. You mentioned Gujarat Fortune Giants. They've now got a four-game winning streak, which is... well, by far and away, the outstanding streak in the league at the moment. they, again, it pains me to mention it, they beat Jaipur last night 36-25. They're going brilliantly at the moment. You said that them and Umumba are the ones to watch for Puneri Pultan. At the moment, Gujarat really are the hot team in the league.
Yeah, it's amazing, actually, because Gujarat have lost Fazal Atharchali and Abozan Meghani from last year, the two pillars on the corners, and they've still managed to sort of keep the ethos of that team going. They've got young Sachin, who's gotten only better with experience. They've got those two cover defenders in Sunil Kumar and Parvesh Benswal, who've been so impressive to watch, and they're sort of the nucleus of that squad. But what's so good to see is that they actually don't have the experience. It's a team built on youth, and the coach is getting so much out of those young men and really extracting maximum potential. So they've actually, in some ways, been the team of the season, because I don't think many, including myself, expected them to be this good. I think given how young they are, I didn't think they had the raiding unit to do so. But the defense has done the job quite well, and they really pose a serious threat in this competition. So they're on a four-game winning streak. Jaipur are on a four-game losing streak.
You don't have to bring it up every time.
Just wanted to drive that home for you, Dan. That's all.
Hey, let's move away from Zone A, because I don't want to talk about Jaipur anymore. So Zone B, normal news, really. Patna lead the way. They look, again, kind of similar to Puneri Pultan. It looks good. But actually, really, break down the statistics. Not great reading for Patna Pirates. Surely at the moment in Zone B, you would rather be in the Bulls or the Titans camp than the Pirates camp. Surely that would be where you would put yourself. Although the Tulivers won last night, but they're still having a shocker, really.
Yeah, 100%. I think, the trouble is, for Patna, they're in a really dangerous spot. They've played 10 and they're on 23 points. But as you said, the Tamil Tulivers, even by winning yesterday, they've played 9 and on 17. So if they win their next one, they'll go to 22. And suddenly, they're only inches behind Patna. Now, Patna could move to pretty much the bottom of the table or second from bottom very quickly, because the Bengaluru Bulls, the Telugu Titans, UP Yodha and Bengal Warriors all have games in hand on the Patna Pirates, and they're all only two points away. And the Bengal Warriors, who have four games in hand, are only 4 points away. So I think Patna are struggling a little bit this season. Pradeep Narwal has been kept quiet the last couple of games. The Telugu Titans have hit him really hard, and suddenly he's looking a bit out of sorts. The Bengaluru Bulls have been the standout team for me. It's been a real surprise to many, because when they came into the season, we spoke of Rohit Kumar and Kashiling Anke being two raiders, and maybe it's going to be tough because they've got a young defence who's not really great. But suddenly, young Pawan Sharawat has come in, and a bit like Siddharth Desai, he's sort of taken the season by storm, and he's been the other youngster to watch out for in the season. He's averaging 15 raid points per game, and that's absolutely staggering for the Bengaluru Bulls. So I think the Bulls and the Titans are the two teams to watch out for. UP Yodha should have been a lot better placed than they are. They've played 8 and won 3, but they should have won a few more given the team that they've got. I think they've got actually one of the best teams in that zone, but they've just had a couple of leaks in defense. And while the Raiders are doing a fine job defensively, they've been pretty shocking at times. And the Bengal Warriors are also quietly going to slip up that leaderboard. So I think Zone B is actually a much tighter zone, in that we've got actually five teams who could be vying for those three spots, maybe even all six, given the way the Tamil Tulivers played last night. So it's a really, really, really tight zone B. I expect that to go the distance.
And yeah, UP Yodhas, you mentioned them being slightly maybe loose in defence. 46-24 they lost to the Tulivers yesterday. Now, the Shahid Vijay Singh complex in Noida, interesting fact, and I didn't realise this, I've literally realised it during my research, home of Afghanistan cricket.
It is, actually. It's really close to the Formula One circuit as well. I remember going to this whole sports city, and it's quite an amazing job that they've done in that area, in that region of Greater Noida. It's a proper sports city where they've got this indoor stadium. They've got a cricket stadium where Afghanistan played Ireland last year. I sort of went down and watched that as well. And there's a lot of sport that goes on in that region. And sort of committed sport that goes on for a time frame, given that it is far from Delhi or far from anything, really. But it's a beautiful setup, fantastic facilities. And I think it's just a great region, given that there is some sporting heritage there, especially a lot of love for Kabaddi. And so we've had some good crowds already in Greater Noida.
Let's just backtrack for a second right to the start of the season. Obviously, this is our first pod of the season. There's been loads of action going on. Let's look at night one, picture the scene. in Chennai, the birth of a certain Mr. Sahel. It wasn't the birth of Sahel Chanduk. The birthplace, that'd be weird. Wouldn't film that. The birthplace of Sahel Chanduk. And the Tamil Talivas go and turn over Patna Pirates, but they don't just beat them. They beat them 42-26. AJ Tacker got 14 points, outscoring everyone. A, it must have been a phenomenal night. And B, you must have been very, very proud of the team from your hometown and what they were achieving.
Yeah, especially given what happened last season. They went right through their home leg without a single win. You know, and you'll know this, Dad. I mean, Chennai is a really rich in sport sort of region of the country. And to see their home team not win a game all through last season was a real shocker for many fans who came out every night despite the results. So suddenly to start the home leg with a win was huge for the home fans. And especially given that, as you said, it came against the three-time champions, the Patna Pirates. The trouble was that they won that first night and then lost every night after. So they sort of instilled all this hope and then just sort of had it flail away, which is a bit strange the way that home leg panned out. But, you know, it's a very unique squad this time, the Tamil Talivas, and that's why you're seeing it sort of hit and miss, because you've got so much experience in there, but it's a lot of players that are towards the back end of their careers and sort of fighting fitness and aging in some sense, you know. So in a sport that is a contact sport, that is physical, it's not like cricket where you can get away with it in some sense as well. You know, you've got to literally be so physically fit also. So I think in over 22 games, I think the Tamil Talivas will struggle at some stage and may miss out on that race for the playoffs. But yeah, it was a terrific start for the Chennai fans.
Obviously, this season followed on from the, sorry to mention it, the Asian Games slight disaster over in Jakarta. Have you noticed any changes in tactics and changes in style? Obviously, in Jakarta, what we saw was Iran did so well, a game based on, you know, real defence and tackling and the genuine strength of the Iranians. Have the teams adapted what they're doing because of that? Is the game evolving because of what we saw there?
Well, I think it was really good for the game. Honestly, I know I am an Indian and I love Indian kabaddi and stuff like that. But look, the fact that Iran beat India just means the game has grown, you know, and it means that it does mean that India is beatable. And that suddenly says, oh, hang on, you know, there are other world threats. And it wasn't just Iran that beat India. Let's not forget, it was the Republic of Korea, South Korea, that actually also beat India in the same Asian game. So it was a really disappointing run for India because they not only missed out on gold, but they missed out on silver as well. But what we did see, therefore, was the fact that, you know, it is a beatable side, even though they had all the top names there, except, of course, the couple of selection errors, in my opinion, where they missed out on guys like Surjeet and Surendra Nada, who were shock misses in that lineup. But when you look at the entire way it panned out, you know, the Iranian coach had worked on that match, and literally that one match for the last 3-4 years, wanting that win. And it was incredible the way it was all pulled off. Of course, that the same coach now who is the coach of U Mumbai, and you're seeing that flavor come in. They sort of play total kabaddi, and I think that's where the game is going to go. We're going to see more players start to play multiple roles. You know, guys who are raiders can't just be raiders. They need to chip in defense. Guys who are defenders need to be able to throw in the odd raid as well. And that's what Iranian kabaddi is all about. And I think that's the future of the sport too.
It's exciting times. I mean, I was going to say, I was out there, I actually commentated on the final. And Iran just looked, like you say, really all-round and really strong. But what was lovely, there was a great picture at the end of Faisal Achachali and Jankun Lee as the game was done and dusted, shaking hands. For the global game of kabaddi, there exactly was your kind of money shot. That was the shot that was going on the papers, back pages on the Sunday morning. Because it was actually, if you know kabaddi, it was two players who have really put their heart and soul into the sport and actually getting a lot back from it. You know, getting a gold or a silver medal at the Asian Games is huge for the global game of kabaddi.
Oh, absolutely. And no doubts about it. I think it was a wonderful, wonderful display. But also, I think, you know, it just shows that you've got some great ambassadors of the game, not just from India, but outside of it as well. I mean, Faisal Achachali just carries himself off so well. He's a terrific, terrific player himself, wonderful leader of men. And you've got Jankun Lee, who somehow goes back to the Republic of Korea every year where there's not so much quality, I mean, not as much as India, and somehow comes back stronger, fitter, better in every season. So it's quite amazing how these two men have really taken to the game in such a wonderful way and actually been able to, you know, change the way the game is looked at in their countries, and they're really leaders in that sense in their own country. So, you know, really, really good to see from both those guys, and to see Korea take on Iran in the Asian Games final just tells you how much the game has moved forward, and to not see India there, yes, disappointing for many, but it's a sign that the game is moving forward.
So moving forward this week, there's UP home leg to come. We've mentioned sort of they're in a bit of a funny state in Group B. They lost yesterday. They've also, if you look at their fixtures, they've got the Bulls, they've got the Titans, they've got Bengal Warriors, all to come in that home leg. How do you see that going for them this week?
Well, I think it's going to be tough because they need to sort their defense out, and it has to happen very quickly. I think when you look at just the way they've gone through this first game as well, it's just been a bit, you know, a bit scratchy. They've started the season in good fashion, but they're riding on their three Raiders, and that's not enough, especially given that Rushang Devadiga is carrying a bit of a niggle as well. So I think the tough part for them is the fact that Jiva isn't quite able to hold that defense together. And if they can somehow really lift that defensive unit and just plug a couple of holes, they will be really, really good to watch. But it's going to be dicey if they can't get that through, because they cannot possibly rely on just their Raiders to do the job, because the opposition Raiders are cleaning up as well.
Now, it's been a sort of a mixed month within the first month of this season. Out of interest, who would you have put down as your team of the month through everything that's gone on?
I think for me, a couple of sides. One, the Gujarat Fortune Giants from Zone A. They've been outstanding. Two, the Bengaluru Bulls from Zone B. I think they've also been, these are my two outside picks that we didn't expect to do so well. And of course, U Mumbai as well. We came in and a lot of talk was about, oh, Anu Kumar has left and therefore U Mumbai is going to struggle and things like that. But suddenly they've lifted through Fazal Ahsan Chali as captain, and they've actually got a very young feel to the team with their young Raiders leading the charge, and a defensive unit also that's been really organized. So it's been really, really good to see those three teams for me particularly. And also I'd add, if you want a second team from Zone B, it would be the Telugu Titans. So those are the four teams that have really, really impressed out of the 12 in the last month.
It's interesting because in Zone B, they're two teams we don't normally mention as being the ones that are really, really playing well. So that's great to see. Now, last time we spoke about the auction. There were some massive figures being thrown around at the Pro Kabaddi auction this year. Has value kind of shone through with those players that went for big money, or are they struggling with price tags? The likes of Nitting Toma, the likes of Devadega went for very big money as well. We know they're sort of big stars, but have they lived up to the billing?
In one word, I would say no. Because I think it's actually a mixed bag. You know, I think Nitin Toma, yes, he's lived up. Fazal Ahsan Chali was a steal when you look at the fact that he went for one CR compared to the others. Monu Goyat, big disappointment, 1.51 crores. And I never thought that was a great decision, because once you spend so much on one player, you're sort of stuck with the rest of your team. You can't really build the rest of your side at all. You're always going to have a few holes, more than a few, in fact, and no bench strength whatsoever. So that was always my problem with spending so much money on one man. And then Deepak Nivas Hooda for me is the biggest disappointment. He went at over a crore rupees as well, and he's been absolutely quite woeful, really, in both roles of a raider and a defender. So yeah, it's been a mixed bag, a couple of good ones. Rishank's been iffy, very good leader. I think he's been an excellent leader, but doesn't justify his price tag as a raider yet, but he's too good a player to discount. I think he's a very hard worker, really good guy, and he'll come back strong. But I think Deepak Nivas Hooda, Rahul Chaudhary, and you know, those two have been the biggest disappointments for me, along with Monu Goyat.
So we're nearly at the end of this sort of roundup pod of the first month of the Pro Kabaddi League, and don't worry, we're gonna be doing weekly from now on. We're gonna aim to get them out every Saturday. But today, Sahel, you mentioned earlier about how the game is evolving and players are being expected to have more of a generic role, more of an all-round role. So today's in and out of is, I want you to give us an idea of the in and out of the perfect all-rounder.
Well, to me, the perfect all-rounder isn't just a man who does a bit of both. I think the perfect all-rounder is someone who does one skill particularly well, but has a 40% skill in the other as well. So when you look at someone that is like, say, Deepak Nivas Hooda at his prime, for me, that is the perfect all-rounder who comes in, puts in some spectacular raids,
and can actually come in and throw in a really surprise tackle, but it'll come good 7 times out of 10, or you know, even 6 times out of 10. And that's what you call the perfect all-rounder. Now, you've got a few of them this season as well. Nitin Rawal for the Jaipur Pink Panthers, I think, is a very good all-rounder, but his role definition's been a bit iffy for that side. There's some others in the mix. Nitin Tomar, actually, it can be a very good defender, but what I like from Pune is the fact that they've actually made sure that they keep him as a primary raider rather than a defender. And Anu Kumar, when you look at the numbers, actually, he's picked up, I think, a 61st tackle point. He is actually a really handy all-rounder, even though he sort of flies under the radar in that all-round role. But also, as an all-rounder, I think you've got to have the ability to have a mindset of a leader. And I think that, for me, comes into being an all-rounder. And that's where I would put even guys like Fazal Trachali, Anu Kumar, Rishank Devadiga in the mix, because even if they don't chip in defensively, they're the guys who actually tell you within a split second what needs to be done at that very moment. And I think it's integral in a sport that is so fast-paced that you can have a captain's hat, a leader's hat on, to be able to make decisions in a split second. And those, for me, also are all-rounders in the game.
Absolutely fantastic. Slightly over 30 seconds. But, you know, I'll let you off for week one. But don't do it again.
Sorry, sir.
So that's it. We've come to the end of the first pod back for In and Out Kabaddi for this season. As I say, we're going to try and do our podcast every Saturday, so you'll be able to pick it up. We're, of course, partnered with Audio Boom. We're on Apple Podcasts. We're on iTunes. We're going to be adding more platforms as well throughout the season. Feel free to send us any questions on Twitter or tag us in any tweets or pictures. It's at In and Out Kabaddi, at Sahel Chandak, or at Dan Strange TV. Sahel, it's been an absolute pleasure as ever. No doubt for you, though, it's straight back into work and a good 12-hour day.
Yeah, it's going to be a long one, straight back into the comm box soon, but an enjoyable one. I think two huge games coming up tonight, the Maharashtra Derby followed by UP versus Bengaluru Bulls. So both games should be really tight, should be great games to watch.
And we will go back through all those next week when we speak. Sahel, I will see you very, very soon.
Bye.